step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Kyle Rittenhouse speaks out. Good morning, Boston. Okay, my friends, we'll hold. Oh, I got a show for you. Unbelievable developments now in the massacre in Waukesha, Wisconsin. We're going to get to all of that, I promise. And I want to ask all of you, do you think now there is a fundamental cover-up taking place like we saw in Las Vegas with Stephen Paddock 5 years ago? Because there are some bizarre, strange developments. Nothing no longer adds up. We're going to get to all of that, I promise. But first, did you see the interview last night on Tucker Carlson, Fox News, with Kyle Rittenhouse? It was for most of the show. They had a little bit of commentary at the end by Judge Jeanine Pirro. But outside of maybe 4 or 5 minutes of commentary at the end, it was essentially Kyle Rittenhouse unplugged, unfiltered. And let me just say this right out of the bat. He impressed me. It was one of the most damning interviews I have ever watched in my entire life. Not so much in what Rittenhouse had to say, although I thought he was at times extremely compelling, very likable, extremely sweet, very composed, an impressive 18-year-old man, young man. I thought Tucker did a good, decent job with the interview. I think there was, I'm going to get to this a little bit later. There were some questions that were not asked that I think should have been asked, but let that go. Overall, I thought he did a very good, solid job. No, to me, what was so compelling about the entire interview and what was so damning about it was it showed a portrait of Kyle Rittenhouse. It revealed him to be the exact opposite, 180-degree opposite of the false portrait, the caricature, the smear campaign that had been relentlessly presented by the corrupt media establishment. If you just followed CNN or MSNBC, or if you read the Associated Press or the New York Times or the Boston Globe or the Washington Post or the Nightly News, you would think this guy was a racist monster. That he was Adolf Hitler's long-lost love child. That he was this white, as Joe Biden called him, a white supremacist, a racist, an armed vigilante, a member of a militia, somebody who just wanted to go out and massacre people, preferably blacks, but he'll take whatever he can get. He'll take white people if they support black causes. He just wanted to go there and start machine gunning people. Just shoot them down. Just rifling them down. Boom, 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 boom. Instead, what you saw was not the face of evil, was not the face of some deranged, unhinged, malicious, psychopathic white supremacist, a cold stone murderer, but literally the exact opposite. A young man from the heartland, mom and apple pie, who saw his community going up in flames. By the way, politically, not very political. I would almost say bordering on naive in some ways about his political views. But let that go. Who, as he told Tucker Carlson, I saw my city, my community. I work as a lifeguard. I spend all my time there. My father lives there. My grandfather has a gas station there. My family lives there, most of them outside of my mom. We live 15 minutes away when I'm with my mom. But I'm always in Kenosha. I know these people. They're my friends. They're my neighbors. These are the businesses that I've been going to for my entire life. And to see my town, my community, being razed to the ground, going up in smoke, up in flames, it bothered me. And so he chose to protect and defend his community. And for this, the hero, the good guy, the protector, the one who does the good, decent thing, he's the one that's turned into public enemy number one? Not the rioters? Not the so-called demonstrators? Not the aggressors? Not the one doing the burning and the rioting and the looting? By the way, it's now coming out even more that people were trapped alive in burning buildings. And had it not been for the Kyle Rittenhouses of the world, the people who volunteered to protect these buildings and neighborhoods and businesses, God knows how many people would have been burned alive. They were rescued, but let that go. And so he's smart. He's articulate. He speaks from the heart. There's no guile in him whatsoever. He's what they call an absolute straight shooter. Very well composed, very well spoken. And as he said over and over and over again, it was not Kyle Rittenhouse. Yes, Kyle Rittenhouse was on trial, but ultimately it was not Kyle Rittenhouse that was on trial. It was the right to self-defense. And this was a clear-cut case of self-defense. In fact, throughout the entire interview, I am just stunned at just what a good, decent, honorable person Kyle Rittenhouse is. He's the one that turns himself over to the police. He's the one when his mother says, you should go in hiding now. BLM is after you. Antifa is after you. He said, no, mom. I'm going to go to the police station. I'm going to turn myself in. I'm not going to go into hiding. Because I got nothing to hide. This was self-defense. Why should I go in hiding? I mean, he's a stand-up guy who was willing to take responsibility and accountability for everything that he did every step of the way. And when you listen to him describe that harrowing night, how Joseph Rosenbaum repeatedly threatened to murder him, repeatedly said, I'm going to kill you. And by the way, we kept using the N-word, but let that go. How they chased him like a pack of jackals. How he was viciously attacked repeatedly. How he was trying to run to the police lines. Like this is the middle of a war. His city was turned into a war zone. And there he was trying to flee to the side of law and order. How he spoke openly about the governor of Wisconsin, saying, why did he not call up the National Guard when my town was being burned to the ground? Why did the mayor of Kenosha tell the police to stand down? Had they not been told to stand down, none of this would have happened. Every step of the interview, he spoke truth to power, and there was forgiveness in Kyle Rittenhouse. He talked about, at one point, he stuns Tucker Carlson. He goes, well, so there I am sitting in jail. And by the way, I want to make a confession. I followed this case quite closely. I did not know that Rittenhouse spent 87 days in jail. Almost 90 days. Almost 3 months in jail. I had no idea. So he was there in jail for 87 days. And we're going to get to this a bit later, screwed over by his initial lawyers, Lynn Wood and John Pierce. And he exposes them as well. What a bunch of grifters and con artists. And there he is praising his jailers. And Tucker Carlson's like, what? He goes, no, they were very professional, Tucker. I have to say. They were very nice to me. They treated me with dignity. They treated me with, you know, recognizing me as a human being. They never spoke down to me. They were never verbally abusive. Even the criminals. So he's in jail. This poor kid's in jail for 87 days because his lawyers are telling him, nah, we're not going to bail you out. Nah, you don't want to go home, Kyle. It's too dangerous for you at home. It's safer for you to be rotting in a cell, literally. And so there the guy is. Apparently at one point he went for 3 weeks without a shower. And he says, no, after a couple of days, because, you know, right away, my concern is, oh, my God, what do they do to you in jail? You know what inmates do to fellow inmates. And he said, no, within a couple of days, all the criminals were like, nah, Kyle's he's a decent guy. Leave him alone. He's a decent guy. We played cards. And Tucker Carlson's draw almost dropped to the floor. He's like, what? He goes, yeah, no, we played cards. We played spades. We played other card games. In other words.
And it was scary, but I was able to make friends, I'd say, acquaintance in jail and, like, play spades card games with them.
And that sweet howdy-doody voice of his, that Midwestern accent and voice of his with that wholesome face. And there, it couldn't hurt a fly. And there he is saying, no, in other words. The criminals figure it out within 48 hours. Guys, leave him alone. He really doesn't belong here. In other words, he's not one of us. Okay? We're criminals. We committed crimes. That's what we do. Okay? That's who we are. This kid, they railroaded this kid. This kid, this is a political ambush. This is a vindictive political prosecution. They're out to destroy this kid because he was defending his town, his neighbors, his community, and himself. In other words, the criminals figure it out within 24 to 48 hours what the media never did. It was a devastating interview because it showed the media to be the liars and propagandists that they are. Did you watch the interview? Your reaction next.
It was scary in jail. Like, you had to watch over yourself, and not a lot of people liked me in jail until they, the funny thing is, a lot of people didn't like me in jail, but they got to hear, like, my story, and they got to understand me, like, he's actually a really decent person. I'm not this person that the media painted him out to be.
You should have heard you knocked out jailbird, sing that rock. Everybody, let's
go. 620 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, did you see the Kyle Rittenhouse interview? What was your reaction? I got to tell you. I mean, that kid, as Gray said, he's almost like a teddy bear. I mean, with those mom and apple pie cheeks, the way he talks, his big eyes, how sincere, how earnest he is. I mean, he's a Boy Scout. He really is a Boy Scout. You can just see that. And, like, your whole time you're watching and you're like, where is this murderous, psychopathic, white supremacist monster that the media has been portraying him to be now for months and months, and especially the last couple of weeks? It's like, you know, up is down is up, black is white is black. It's the exact opposite, the complete inverse of the picture that the media has been trying to paint and how to portray this man as a racist neo-Nazi monster.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
And you look at him and you're like, this is, I mean, you want to talk about sheer lies and propaganda. And that's why I've been saying from the beginning, this trial is going to go down as a watershed on many, for many reasons, on many grounds. But one of them is it has now really exposed and damaged the fake news media. They so overplayed their hand on this. It was such obvious lies, manipulation, distortion that when you saw the interview last night, you're like, these people are, I mean, they're sick, depraved liars. There's just no other way to put it. So just, I know we played the cut earlier, but so he's talking about how he's in prison and you just heard the cut coming in. And it's like, nah, after a while, they're like, nah, guys, he really doesn't. He's a decent guy. He really doesn't belong here. So he spent almost 90 days in prison. To me, absolutely unforgivable from his initial defense team. Absolutely unforgivable. Listen now to him saying, so Tucker Carlson is like stunned. And he goes, so they didn't like, you know, beat you up or God forbid rape you or, you know, assault you in prison or nah, they figured I was a nice guy. Leave him alone. In fact, you know what we ended up doing? Roll cut 24, Marita, play it again.
And it was scary, but I was able to make friends, I'd say, acquaintance in jail and like play spades card games with them.
I mean, Carl Rittenhouse, sorry, Tucker's face was always, it was priceless. I was always like, is this kid for real? Like, what is he, out of a movie or something? So hold on, you became buddies with some of the inmates. Yeah, they kind of got to know me and, you know, we started to play cards. And that's how we passed the time together. Now, listen to this. This, ay-yi-yi. So from October 30th, to, I believe, what is it, November 20th, for 3 weeks, essentially. Listen to what he says. He was in he calls it a Super 8 motel. Even in some of his analogies, I thought were hilarious. He says he would rate it 1 star out of 5 stars, comparing this thing like at a motel or a hotel. It was like a Super 8, he said. You had a little bed, small bathroom, and that was it. He says they did allow him to have a tablet and a phone. He acknowledged that. And he said the jailers, the correction officers, he loved them. Very professional, very friendly, treated him with a lot of dignity. But he said the actual conditions themselves, listen to this. They were treating him the way they're treating the January 6th political prisoners. Listen to the conditions he describes, especially lack of any running water. This poor kid stunk so bad because he wasn't able to take a shower for over 3 weeks. Roll cut 18, lightning.
But I didn't have running water. Seriously. I had a phone also, but I did not have running water, so I didn't shower until November 20th.
How long?
From October 31st to November 20th, I did not take a shower.
That's disgusting.
I smelled terrible. I felt sick. I lost weight. My health was degrading. If I was in there for a month longer, I would have probably been in a hospital.
Wait, you had no running water?
No running water in my jail cell.
Did they let you out?
To talk with my attorneys. I didn't really say anything.
And he's like, I didn't want to complain because if I complained, I thought they'd make the conditions even worse. And then just to show you what a sweet guy he is, he then says, but I want to thank a friend of mine because he's the one that helped raise my money. He never abandoned me. He supported me. And then he goes, he picked me up. And I guess it was a 3-hour drive back to, you know, Rittenhouse's home. And his friend was the one who drove him. And he's like, and he put up with my smell the whole time in the car. And then he points to the camera, like, almost like giving a shout out. And saying, I want you to know I'll never forget that you put up with me even though I smelled that bad. So even on that, he's got no malice. I'm like, this is a good kid. This is a good kid. Now, apparently you don't see that in the interview. Tucker Carlson's going to do a documentary. He's quite religious. He's a Christian. He prays. He talks about how God was fundamental, his belief in God, that he believed God was on his side, watching over him, that this really carried him throughout the entire ordeal. And they don't get into it in the interview, but he's not able to sleep at night. He has PTSD. He has horrible dreams. He has these night sweats. Anyway, he's seeing a therapist. He's trying to get over his PTSD. I felt very sorry for him. In the end, it was a very sympathetic portrait, a very authentic portrait, and really of a boy who had been railroaded by the system and by the grace of God survived. .631 on the Grave, WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 if you want to be part of the show. Okay, I want to ask all of you, did you watch the Kyle Rittenhouse interview? If you did, what did you make of it? If you didn't, I've been playing some clips for the first half hour of this opening hour show. Some stunning revelations. He, in fact, was in jail for nearly 90 days, 87 days, on the recommendation of his lawyers. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later, saying, no, Kyle, as they're raising money off of him. They're saying, no, Kyle, you don't want to be home with your family. No. You want to be in jail because it's safer for you here than it is to be with your family. And as Rittenhouse says, they kept pushing me to do all kinds of interviews with the Washington Post and others. And I'm like, why are you forcing me to do this? Anyway, he really exposes his first legal team, not the later legal team, but his initial legal team, saying that they gave me horrible advice. And he believes at least one of them took advantage of him. We're going to get to that. But there he was, rotting in jail for 87 days, no running water. He was not able to shower for over 3 weeks. And yet there he is, smiling, forgiving, with that wholesome howdy-doody face and voice of his. And so I want to ask you, 617-266-6868, is this a damning interview of the lies, the propaganda, the distortion of the liberal elite media? Because what I saw yesterday was a good, decent American who had been screwed over and ambushed by the system, railroaded, and yet somehow emerged triumphant. And what the media painted was that of a neo-Nazi monster. 617-266-6868. Justin in Weymouth. Thanks for holding, Justin, and welcome.
Jeff, good morning.
Hi.
What a story. I've been following it too, okay? And he's innocent. He it was self-defense, okay? If he wasn't unarmed, he probably would have been killed, you know? And I don't like to say that on air, Jeff, but it's true. And I've been thinking about it. And then this story with the car mowing down the people, that's not right. That ain't right. You know, I mean, I'd be scared to death, Jeff. I'd be scared if I was Kyle Rittenhouse in jail with no food, no running water, you know, and having lawyers say to me, yeah, you're going to be fine, Justin, you're going to be fine. You know, and then let's say I'm in the crowd, Jeff, the car mowing down the people. I'd be running for my freaking life. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have much time to say my prayers. Nobody would. That's it, Jeff. Happy, I can't say Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. Have a healthy, Happy New Year, everybody. Peace and goodwill toward women and men. And that's my wish for my birthday this year, Jeff, and for everybody. You, phenomenal job. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Justin. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. 617-266-6868. No, you're completely right. And look, I mean, you look at him. He was falsely arrested. He should never have been arrested. This thing should have never gone to trial. It was a classic clear-cut case of self-defense. So he's politically, this is a political prosecution. It's politically motivated. It's politically vindictive. Then they throw him behind bars. Then his lawyers say, nah, Kyle, you want to stay there? Just stay there. So rot in jail. He's got no running water. No running water. The kid can't brush his teeth. The kid can't take a shower. The kid stinks in a way. And yet he's funny. He's very forgiving. He's got no malice, no bitterness. He was very composed, very articulate. Really, I have to say a couple of things. Now, you may, I don't disagree with me, but I'm looking at him like, if I saw his parents, I'd shake their hands and go, you know, you did a great job with this kid. Now, by the way, Tucker made a really key point yesterday. If you look at Kyle Rittenhouse, again, I followed this trial quite closely. There was stuff there I had no idea. Kyle Rittenhouse worked as a janitor while he was in high school to help feed his family, to help provide for his mom and help out his dad. They're poor. I mean, they're working class poor. They're not, you know, they don't take a welfare check. They're too proud for that. But they, you know, they're working class. They don't have very much. He comes from one of the most least privileged sectors of American society. No affirmative action for him. No racial quota for him. And he talks about how he wants to go to university. He's been accepted. He wants to go. I believe he may be the first one in his family to actually go to university. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, it's a huge achievement for him. So he had to work as a janitor while going to high school, then as a lifeguard in Kenosha. He comes from working class, almost poor family, and they don't have much, but they have each other. And he loves his community. He loves his family. He loves his friends. He loves his country. He believed in the fundamental decency of America. And when he saw his city, his town, his community being burned to the ground, he said, I have no choice but to respond. What am I going to do? Stand by and watch all the people I've known my entire life, see their entire business go, their neighborhood go? And by the way, the New York Times, this is a key story and a key point, and all of you need to know this. The New York Times admitted that they did a piece, the reporter confessed, on the immense damage that was done to Kenosha, that almost all of those businesses were uninsured. Let me repeat that. They were uninsured for a riot like that. So when their businesses were destroyed, they were never able to recover. And the New York Times deliberately sat and buried the story until after the November 2020 election, because they didn't want the political consequences of the story to get out to the wider public for fear that it would damage Biden, damage Black Lives Matter, damage the Democrats. So the New York Times knew how this had destroyed the lives of countless, by the way, many of them minorities and blacks. Those were minority black-owned businesses. And it destroyed so many people's lives, and they could never be compensated for what happened.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
And these were, as the New York Times piece pointed out, these are businesses and families. They put 20, 25, 30, 35 years, some of them family to family businesses, multi-generational, blood, sweat, and tears gone, gone. And their lives and livelihood completely destroyed. So this is a kid, literally, from the heartland, who says, I know these people. I love these people. He's a working class kid. Very little in terms of disposable income. Believe me, they're not living high on the hog. I'll tell you this. He's got to work as a janitor just to help pay his family's bills, help his mother out, help his father out. And he sees people that he knows and he's grown up with, and he sees everything that they have going up in smoke. And he does the right thing. And yet the media, instead of lionizing him and praising him, no. They side with the rioters. They side with the criminals. They side with the looters. They defend them. They protect them. They glorify them. And then after this kid saves God knows how many people's lives that night, then they want to politically crucify him for the crime of standing up to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And then throughout all of this, as he admits in the interview, I'm all stressed on the inside. The kid cannot sleep anymore at night. He's got severe PTSD. Who knows if he'll ever really recover from this? No bitterness, no anger, no malice, nothing. He's just, I want to continue with my life. I want to start over again. I want to be a kid. I want to go to university. He says he wants to be a nurse. He likes to be a first responder. But now he's seen some of the injustices of the legal system. Maybe he'll become a lawyer. And you look at him and he's just a good, decent, all-American working class kid who got sucked into something much bigger than himself and who did the right thing every step of the way. And it really tells you what our media is all about, that they've turned him now into the second coming of Adolf Hitler. Into the second coming of the Grand Wizard of the KKK. And you look at him, he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. In fact, many of the people he helped out were not only blacks and minorities, they were the rioters. He was administering first aid to both those that were being attacked and the rioters themselves. I mean, you look at this and you're like, this is a made for Hollywood movie. You know what they say? Life is stranger than fiction. Agree, disagree. Did you watch the interview? And what's your reaction? Your calls next. On the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, Kyle Rittenhouse now, it's his turn. He speaks out in a very candid, I thought at times moving interview with Tucker Carlson. What did you make of the interview? And do you think it presents a damning indictment of the media? I did not see a racist monster last night. Did you? 617-266-6868. Lisa in Linfield. Thanks for holding, Lisa, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. I saw the whole interview last night, and Kyle Rittenhouse is an absolute doll. He was a doll. I mean, how can you not love this boy? He had, he was very intelligent, well-spoken, but yet he had this innocence to him. And I am disgusted with Lynn Wood took advantage of this boy. I wanted to cry for this boy. And he's so sweet. And he didn't say a bad word about any of them. No one. He wants to be a nurse. He wants to go to school and be a nurse. He still wants to help people. I mean, I just love this kid. I want to go to Kenosha and just give him a hug.
You know, that's what Grace said last night. It's funny she'd say that, Lisa. She goes, you just see him, and after everything he's been through, you just want to give that boy a big hug and say, look, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. All right, Kyle? It's all going to work out. Lisa, I want to ask you this, because there were some moments in the interview I was a little bit surprised. I'm not going to repeat it because I think it was a mistake. You may disagree with me, but I honestly think it was a mistake. He's a bit naive. I think he's a little bit gullible. I think he's being misled. And he announced the university that he was going to go to. And I thought, why are you doing that? You're going to put a target on your back. Now they're going to know where you're going to school, what university you're going to. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the radical left. My God, they could kill you on campus or attack you on campus. And I'm telling you, Lisa, if I was doing the interview, I would have cut the camera right there and said, whoa, 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 son, we're going to edit this out, okay? Because this is not good for you. You don't want to tell the world where you're going to university. Trust me on this. You want to keep that on the down low, okay? That kind of stuff, that's between you and your family. Now, if the media wants to report it eventually, then it's going to be on them. But you don't want to announce it to the world. I thought, honestly, that Tucker should not have allowed that. I would have edited that out. I thought that they made a mistake in announcing that. I also, his lawyer, the good ones, okay, not the initial legal team, but the one afterwards, his top defense lawyer, Lisa, he's recommending that Kyle Rittenhouse change his name. And he says, not that he did anything wrong, but that they've gotten so many death threats and there is now such a target on Rittenhouse's back that he fears for his life. And so he's been urging Rittenhouse, change your name, take on a new identity, go into anonymity, and if you want to even get your old name back, fine, but wait at least 5 years. Lisa, if you were advising him, would you agree with the lawyer, or would you tell him, keep your name and just lay low?
No, I would change the name. It would still be Kyle Rittenhouse because it's him inside. Yes, change. And why didn't Tucker tell him to, why didn't he cut that part out? I was like, oh my God, why is he saying, where is he going to go to school? They're going to come after him. He's innocent. That's what I'm saying. Like, he has that innocence about him. He doesn't think bad about people. Like, he doesn't say anything bad. He's just so innocent.
I know. He's very trustworthy.
He's so intelligent.
And he's very trusting. Oh, you're dead on, Lisa. There's a certain naive, you know, like green, green behind, he's green. He's kind of a little bit wet behind the ears. And there's just sort of which is very charming, an innocence and a naivete, something about a little bit naive about him. And I'm like, no, Kyle, really? Hey, look, you're 18. Please let me be a Dutch uncle to you on this one. That's what I would tell him. Don't tell anyone where you're going to university. Dad, you don't want them. Kyle, they want to kill you, man. No, the less you tell them about your private personal stuff, the better. Anyway, Lisa, thank you very much for that call. Again, look, just my opinion. You tell me if you agree or disagree. If you're advising him, one, would you be telling him, hey, let everybody know what university you're going to be going to? And two, do you think that was a mistake? I would say, please don't. I know the media will probably report it anyway, but you don't want to be advertising it and making it even a bigger issue out of it, because they're coming after you. And do you think his lawyer is right? He should change his name, at least for a couple of years, until the situation dies down. 617-266-6868. Now, he doesn't plan to do either. He's going to keep his name, and he's telling everybody where he's going to school. In fact, he's excited to go to school. That's what's so charming about him. He can't wait to go to school. And he's like, no, I'll make friends on campus. I'll be okay. I'm like, Kyle, please. I don't think you realize what the nature of BLM and the left are. Believe me, what you saw in Kenosha wasn't some kind of a fringe thing. That's how many of them are, Kyle. Paul in Raynham. Thanks for holding, Paul, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Paul.
If I was Kyle, I certainly wouldn't have been broadcasting where I was going, but I wouldn't change my name. You know, he's Kyle Rittenhouse, and Rittenhouse, and I think he needs to say that. And I think that's too many times the innocent and the good guys are the ones who have to go undercover or go and hide in the corner because we're so cautious of the bad guys. And I think that time is over. I think it's time for him to stand up like he did. He's shown that he is about integrity, and that's what he's going to do. And the one thing that the reason I think that needs to be, hopefully, the choices he makes going forward is when he ultimately sues and punishes the media for doing what they've done. I hope that when his attorneys go after that, whoever he chooses to do that, it's not just a cash payday. I mean, I hope he certainly gets his cash payday, but I want him to bring them to their knees by making them dedicate legitimate time to falling on their swords for what they did to him. I'm going to call it restitution, and cash is not sufficient. They need, you know, Don Lemon needs to be on air on his show dedicating, I don't know, how about one third the time to, I was wrong, I was wrong, I was wrong, I lied, I lied, I lied. They need to come out and do an expose on the information that was sent to the media and then how the media twisted it. And how many times did I hear about how he took a gun across state lines? I'm not talking about opinion stuff. I'm talking about facts of the case that they lied about, that they knew was wrong because it was never presented as fact, not in court, not by the prosecution, not by anybody. It was presented as fact by the legacy media, the obsolete media. And I'm sorry, but they need to not just write another check. You know, that other kid who they made into the devil.
Nick Sandman.
Nick, yeah. And he got $250 million. You know how easy it was for them to write a check for $250 million? That's a drop in the bucket for those corporations. They need to be punished in a manner in which is sufficient that, you know, if I fine Jeff Bezos $100, what does he care? Right? You know, that's why people made a big deal about Michael Jordan betting $40,000 on putts. Well, if he bets $20, there's no pressure. Right? When he's playing golf with his friends, he needs to make the stakes high. Otherwise, there's no pressure because he has so much.
That's an excellent point.
So if you're not going to punish these guys so that it makes them cry in their beds at night, going, oh, my God, I will never let this happen again because it will ruin my business.
Or my public reputation, my prestige, our authority on the air. No, you're right. In other words, have them do a public mea culpa. You're dead on. In other words, we apologize. We were wrong. You know, in other words, have him hurt their credibility and their ego and their pride and their image, not just the check. I agree with you. No, Paul, then they would be very, if Don Lemon had to go on the air and publicly apologize, or Rachel Maddow or Joy Reid, or you can take in any one of these liars in the corporate media. Oh, Paul, they'd be much more careful the next time, believe me, because that's humiliation.
Intentionally misled. That's the thing that needs to be out there. Because the thing is, you talk to, I mean, we all know people who are on the other side, who are, some of them are actually quite intelligent. And they just have been tricked. They're smart and they're caring. And then, you know, and they keep falling for the fact that, oh, you know, these guys on the left just keep, you know, they were misled. They misunderstood, misinterpreted the data. And that's why they said this thing that was not true. No, it needs to come out that they didn't just, it's not just they misinterpreted how things were, got caught up in the moment. No, I was given the true facts. I twisted them to suit a narrative, and then I lied to your face. Bingo. That's what needs to be.
Bingo. Bingo, bingo, bingo. Paul, phenomenal call. Phenomenal. Again, thank you very much for that call. No, he's dead on. They intentionally lied and misled their viewers. They lied and misled for a political agenda. And that was to inflame and gin up racial tensions and racial divisions in order to politically destroy Kyle Rittenhouse. That was the entire point. Even after the trial, even after the verdict, they're still saying he took a gun across state lines. They're still calling him a white supremacist. They're still calling him a murderer. Here, Whoopi Goldberg on The View. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. People are saying, okay, Kyle, tell your lawyers, put her down on the spreadsheet and sue her ass for defamation. So they're still lying. Now, super quick, because I want to go, the lines are jammed. Listen now to Rittenhouse. He actually does call out the media. It was a very, one of the very powerful moments in the interview. Roll cut 25, lightning.
It's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist, false. None of that is true. And the lies that they can just get away with spreading is just sickening. And it's a disgrace to this country.
Listen now, because he's asked by, he was asked several times. Hey, look, Nick Sandman sued and he won a huge settlement. The media lied about you. They smeared you. They defamed you. Are you going to sue? Do you want to finally hold them accountable? Listen to Rittenhouse's answer. Roll cut 17, lightning.
And they would like to see you, you know, help make this better by holding some of these liars to account. Do you plan to do that?
I have really good lawyers who are taking care of that right now. So I'm hoping one day there will be some, there will be accountability for their actions that they did.
So basically he kept saying, look, my lawyers are on it. He didn't want to say more than that, but he goes, believe me. No, we're going to sue. My lawyers, don't ask me too much about it, but my lawyers are going to take care of that for me. So I hope he goes after CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The View. I hope he goes after all of them. All of them. And I agree with Paul. It should not just be a check, because they can write checks, no problem. It needs to be a public apology. We intentionally lied to you. We intentionally misled you. They need to own up to their corruption and to their lies. 617-266-6868. Okay. Some of you, in fact, many of you, like, you know, I understand you get up early, you have to go to work, did not see the interview. So I'm getting a lot of texts. By the way, you can text us 70470, 70470. Jeff, what did Kyle Rittenhouse say about his initial legal team, especially the two lawyers, Lynn Wood and John Pierce? Okay, I'm going to play you the two cuts, and then I'm going to go right back to the phone lines. So this was a part that Tucker Carlson said they had no idea was going to go there. The Tucker said this was news to all of us. Listen to what Rittenhouse says about why he was told to stay in jail for 87 days. It was at the hands of his two lawyers, Lynn Wood and John Pierce. Roll cut 14, lightning.
I was in jail for 87 days, and this follows in with Lynn Wood, who Lynn Wood was raising money on my behalf, and he held me in jail for 87 days, disrespected my wishes, put me on media interviews, which I should never have done, which he said, oh, you're going to go talk to the Washington Post, which was not a good idea, along with John Pierce. They said I was safer in jail instead of at home with my family. And then after I'm bailed.
Your lawyer said that.
My lawyer said that. John Pierce and Lynn Wood.
Now, look, I'd like to hear from them, especially Lynn Wood. because I know Lynn Wood has had a very successful track record, and he's been a very good lawyer in the past. So Pierce, I can definitely believe that about Pierce. But Lynn Wood, I'd like to hear his side of the story, to be honest with you. But if it's true, I underlined the word if, okay? I don't know. I want to hear Lynn Wood's side. But if it's true, this is disgusting. I mean, this is really disgusting. I felt very bad for him. I felt bad for Kyle. I felt you're abused by the police. You're abused by the justice system. You're abused by the political system. You're abused by the animals, the vultures in the media. You almost died that fateful night doing the right honorable thing. And now even your own lawyers are screwing you? Now, one more cut. He basically says, according to him, he basically says that that they were making money off of him, that they were raising money off of him and keeping him in jail the whole time. Roll cut 15, Lightning.
87 days of not being with my family for defending myself and being taken advantage to, being used for a cause by these, by John Pierce and Lynn Wood, trying to raise money so they can take it for their own benefit, not trying to set me free.
I mean, that was an explosive allegation. I got to tell you, whoa, 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 whoa. Again, if true, I want to hear their side, especially Lynn Wood. I want to hear what he has to say on this. He needs to respond. I'm looking at this. I'm like, whoa, you mean all that money, that not the $2 million that they put up for bail later, but initially, you're telling me that they just, what did they do? They took the money? They took the money and ran? So they lied to the people who were donating? And then what? And it was used for your bail, but they didn't want to bail you out. And they just kept you in jail. Whoa. I got to tell you, when I saw that, I'm like, I've heard of scumbag lawyers in the past, but this takes the cake. Whoa. 617. I felt bad for him. Honestly, I just felt like this poor kid being used and abused by everybody around him. 617. 266-6868. Denise in Gloucester. Thanks for holding, Denise, and welcome.
617.
Denise, I need you to turn down your radio because we can hear it in the background. All right, do we have Denise? Okay, let's go to someone else. We'll go back to Denise. Let's go to Tim in Waltham. Thanks for holding, Tim, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Great. But I would really like to thank you for your show, for bringing us this information. Where would we get it without you? I enjoy your show so much.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
And,
thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you. This kid was great. I didn't get to see the Tucker Carlson interview, but just watching the trial, which I did on YouTube a lot. This kid's great. I mean, he's amazing. And I agree with you 100% there. I wanted to comment what you said before about how the guards or whatever didn't give this kid running water in prison.
Well, he says the guards were very nice to him. No, Tim, he said the guards were very, he praised them. He didn't mean, it wasn't the guards, it was the management of the prison system, like the upper management. They just said no running water, screw him.
Okay. It's time for us to stand up. The guards. How could I be a guard watching that kid in that cell with no running water? You know what? I'm going to get this kid running water. I'm going to take him down, let him take a shower. And if you fire me, go ahead. It's like we have to start standing up. Another thing I want to say, too, this is it's sort of off point, but sort of on point. I'd like to see all these people getting fired, like police officers and all that stuff, too, who are taking the vaccination. They should still go to work. Keep going to work. Make them arrest you. And then when you get out of jail, go back to work. Let's stop this crap. It's like these people are acting like Nazis. It's like you look back in Nazi Germany and you say to yourself, how could all these people, these Nazis, go along with this concentration camps? How could a person do that? And it's similar right now. I just watch this stuff, and I hear this stuff. I'm like, what is going on? How many of these communists or whatever, these people who go along with, how many are there? And what is wrong with them? It's time to stand up and stop going along with it.
Oh, that's a very profound point. That's an excellent point. Look, Tim, you know, I know he was, you know, he was saying, hey, look, the guards were nice. They spoke to me. And I'm like, boy, Kyle, your standards are low, man. So they were nice to you. I'm like, how come none of them said to the management, why is this kid he's not able to take a shower? Why can't he brush his teeth? Why can't he wash his hands? He's got no running water. Like, can you turn the freaking water on? Like what? They're afraid to lose their jobs? And I thought you made a brilliant point. Or how about, look, kid, come here, Kyle, come. 20 minutes, whatever. Here's a bar of soap. Here's some shampoo. Here's a towel. Here's a razor blade if you need it. Shave, shower, clean yourself up. I'll bring you back to the cell. If I get reprimanded, go ahead, reprimand me. I don't care. I mean, you're completely right, Tim. Where was the basic humanity, the basic decency?
The other thing, too, that young kid, not young, he's a young man.
He's a young man.
Okay. He is 100 times the man that those guards were. I'm sorry. That kid is amazing. He really is. That kid has a huge future in front of him. He's an amazing kid.
He really is. No, he's a special kid. No question about it. Tim, thank you so much. Look, it's why, and by the way, there are so many like him in our country, in the heartland. That's why when people say to me, Jeff, why are you optimistic about the future? Because I know people like him. They're salt of the earth. They're great patriots. They're great Americans. And I'm telling you, this is going to galvanize even more of us to speak out and stand up. Your calls next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.